Amen. All right, hallelujah. We're going to start reading in verse 21. But before we do that, I want to say a few things. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone? You're talking to somebody, and as you're talking to them, your mind just seems to wander off, and they've just said something, and you're like, oh, what did they just say? Like, and you know, if you don't want to offend them, you just be like, yeah. Or if you really know them well, you'd be like, sorry, what did you say? Sometimes it happens to me on the phone, and because I pick up a lot of calls in the car. And so yesterday, Pastor Layton was speaking to me, and this motorbike guy just did a madness in front of me just down the road there. And he was talking, and this motorbike guy is, you know, doing the crazy stuff. And I was like, sorry, and I missed about, you know, a whole minute of what Layton said because of this guy. Sometimes, you know, people say things and you forget it. I was thinking of another one. Have you ever read a book and then when you finish the page, you think, what did I just read? What did I just read, man? That's bad, man. When it's the Bible as well. You just read it. Have you ever done your reading plan and you finished it? And you're like, what did I just read? Yeah, that's never happened to me because I repent now. What about when you've just met someone and you see them, you ask them what their name is? Hi, my name is Courtney, what's your name? And they tell you their name and they say their hand and they go off and someone comes and says, who's that? And you're like, I don't know. They just told you their name. How many know sometimes we forget things? We can be forgetful here as well. I want to preach a sermon about this issue, and I've entitled it Be a Doer, Not Just a Hearer. And we want to bring this out of the Word of God. And so James 1:21, and the Bible says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now that you would bless us with your presence. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to move in this place. Father, I pray that you would speak to us a clear word of from your word, Lord. Father, to our hearts. Father, let us be changed by this word. Father, I pray that we will not be forgetful hearers, but Father, your word would be sink deep into our hearts. And Father, it will be there, Father, for when we need. Most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, amen. And we say, amen. Looking for a blessing. How many are looking for a blessing? I'm looking for a blessing. And I want to speak about, first of all, how do you get this blessing that God, the Bible spoke about? Because at the end, he said of the text, verse 25, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many know that's a wonderful promise that God will bless us in what we do? I want God to bless me in what I do. But before we get there, we need to deal with the first part. And the first part, he says this, therefore, laying aside or filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. Before you're going to be blessed, you've got to lay aside some stuff. You've got to lay aside some stuff. You've got to take off some things. This is what the word means, lay aside. He says, all filthiness. And that word filthiness, what it means is immorality. And so what the Bible is saying, if you want to be blessed, you've got to lay aside immorality. Look at your neighbor and say, lay aside. This is what you've got to do. If you want God to bless you, you've got to lay aside immorality. The Bible says, and afterwards he says, the overflow of wickedness. What is this? This is the outflow of this immorality, this wickedness. This is how sin will play out. Sometimes when no one's looking, sometimes you've got to do right. But sometimes when people are not looking, that's when you've got to do right. See, what you do in secret will play out in public. What you do in secret. And so when the Bible's speaking about immorality, it's speaking about fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. Could be speaking about lying. Could be speaking about stealing. Could be speaking about adultery, perversion. And so many times people think they can do these things and nobody sees. But the Bible says if you're going to be someone who's going to be blessed, you've got to lay aside, it says, all of the wickedness, this immorality. You've got to lay this aside. Some people do not see what you're doing, what you're looking at on the internet, the texts that you're sending or receiving, the jokes that you're making. Maybe this week some of you have been involved in immorality. Can I say that God knows? God knows. And he said, if you're going to be blessed, you've got to lay aside all filthiness. He said, all of it. It's got to be laid aside. Things that you're involved in. So many times people want God to bless them, but you've got to lay aside some stuff. You've got to take off some things. Because not until you're willing to lay aside can you receive. Because he says then, and receive with meekness the imputed word which is able to save your soul. See, not until you lay aside some things will you be able to receive some things from God. Did you know that? You want God, I want you to bless me. God, I want you to work in my life. God is saying, I've got treasure loads of blessing for his people. God has blessings and destiny and so much with your name on it. But he urges you, he says, but you've got to lay aside all filthiness. All of it. You've got to get rid of it. Anything that you know which is not of God, you've got to get rid of it. Because until you get rid of it, until you lay aside, you're going to receive nothing. Nothing is going to go in. And what the Bible is speaking about in this text, he's talking about the Word of God. I want you to think about this. What the Bible is telling us is that when you're involved in sin and you're not laying aside some things that you know you should be, the Word of God is not penetrating your heart. It's not going in. It's not affecting you. It's bouncing off. It's not blessing you or helping you. But there's nothing wrong with the seed. Did you know that? There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the word. It's the ground. Luke 8 verse 5 says, and the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says that the word of God goes out. The word of God is perfect. It's got the power. It's got the ability to regenerate your life, to change your life, to change you. To do things in your life. It's got the power to do that. But he says, you know what it is? You'll see, you could look in a crowd of people like this and you can see they're receiving all the same word, but how come some are changing and some are not? How come some are growing and some are not? Some are excelling and some are not. Some are moving fast forward and some are not. Some are taking ground, as we spoke about in the beginning of the year, but others are not. The Bible said it's nothing to do with the seed. It's not a faulty seed or a faulty crop. What it says, it's all about our hearts. It's about the ground. He says in our text, he says, with meekness. You've got to receive the imputed word with meekness. Say that word with me, meekness. Once again, say meekness. The word meekness, really, we could go on and it's connected with humility. But an issue, it's power in control. And what we're talking about here is someone that is able to be, to receive something. Someone who's able to be spoken to. Someone who's able to receive the word of God. See, when Jesus Christ came, the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't receive him. Because they were too prideful. So he didn't help them. He didn't change. Nothing changed because they didn't receive him in meekness. And the Bible is saying is that if you're going to receive anything of God, you've got to lay aside the filthiness and the sinfulness and the carnality and then receive with meekness. Because the ground that God is looking for is a heart which is meek. Listen, please do not lose me here. God is saying he's looking for a meek heart to implant his word into. He's looking for meekness. He's not looking for prideful people, boastful people. He's not looking for people that always want it their way. You ever met people like that? It's always their way. They cannot receive. They cannot be told what to do. They're so argumentative. That's the opposite of meekness. That's the opposite of meekness. What Jesus is showing us through here, he's saying, listen, if my word falls upon good ground, it will yield a hundredfold. That means is that God starts to change in your life and blessing and just a Christ likeness. You're born again. You're functioning in the things of God. But it's not to do with the, oh yeah, I think, you know, Pastor, he needs to study more, that sermon. Well, maybe it could be. But it might just be your heart. It might just be your heart. It might be that you need to remove some filthiness and lay aside. He says, meekness. The word and meekness will save your soul. See, meekness alone will not save your soul, but the word alone will not save your soul. You need the meekness and the word. See, in this text, he shows us that we have the ability to deceive ourselves. How many know we can deceive ourselves? Did you know that? Some people can deceive themselves. In this text, what he's showing us is that self-deception is so sad. It's one thing when someone tricks you, it's another thing when you trick yourself. It's when you deceive yourself. It's very sad. And the Bible says, you know how we can be deceived? Is that we think that by hearing the word, if we just hear the word, that is good enough. If we just hear the word. That means if I just read my Bible, and there are many Christians that think this. If I just read my Bible, I'm not saying don't read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. But if I just read it and know it, then that's enough. He says, do not be deceived. Do not deceive yourself by thinking if you just know the Bible or just read the Bible, somehow you're okay. Or if you just come to church, you just come into the congregation and sit yourself down, that you think, well, I'm always here, I will be here. Listen, you should be here. But he's saying, do not deceive yourself by thinking that if you just hear the word, it's enough. He's showing us, hearing the word means nothing unless you do it. Hearing the word of God means nothing unless you do it. Unless you're doing it. Unless daily you come to this word and desire to do it. The Bible notes it in such a way where he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. The Bible, this is what I love. God has got a sense of humor. Because God says, listen, people that hear the word and don't do it, is like someone who gets up and looks in the mirror, and then straight away they leave the mirror and they forget what they look like. Imagine that. You look in the mirror and then you walk away and we say, do you have a beard? Or do you don't know? I don't know. Let me go and have a look. You just looked. You've forgotten already who you are. He says, that'd be ridiculous to see someone that looks in the mirror and then leaves the mirror and forgets exactly who they are, the type of person they are, what they look like. Really, what the Bible is saying is that if you're someone that hears the word and don't do it, you're stupid. You're stupid. You're foolish. How many know that? If you saw someone look in the mirror, they're looking in the mirror for like an hour, looking in the mirror. And then they leave and they do not recognize themselves. They do not know what they look like. They do not know what color eyes they have, or they do not understand. The Bible says they're forgetful hearers. Forgetful hearers. How many Christians are like that? They come to church, they hear a sermon, and then they leave and forget holiness. You just heard a sermon on holiness. You just heard a sermon on the holiness of God, on the righteousness of God. And people will go out Sunday night and go do a madness. Crawl into a bed of fornication. Have you forgot? You just heard 2 o'clock, you heard a sermon on holiness, and you left the service, left the sanctuary, left the ecclesia, left the gathering of God, and went out and done a madness. Did you forget? He says that's insanity. What about people that will leave a service and then go home and argue and lose their temper and stop loving people? Have you forgot to love people? You sat in a service and we exalted Jesus, and you're like, yes, yes, you heard, you heard, you heard. And then you go out and refuse to forgive others or refuse to love others. God says, that's nuts. The way that God sees it when he looks down, he says, let me show you how I see it. This is what God is trying to show us, how he sees it. To us we may justify it. To us we may rationalize it. But the way God sees it is this. You're in church on a Sunday, and then you go on Monday and you're doing this. God says that's insanity. Do we forget? We hear that souls are going to hell without Christ. And we are the witnesses. How many of we are the witnesses for Jesus? Do you know that? We are the witnesses for Jesus. Every single one of you. Whether you've done the membership class, you have a ministry. And that ministry is not given from Potter's House. That ministry is given by the Holy Spirit. That ministry is given by Jesus. You need to share the word of Jesus. You need to share the gospel. You need to share the gospel. Because the Bible says if you don't, blood is on your hands. If you see someone going astray and you do not tell them, the Bible says blood is on your hands. But how many know we can hear that and then we go out from the house of God, put our Bibles down, go about our business for the day, and totally forget that? We become forgetful hearers. See, the Bible is saying that the word of God is like a mirror. The word of God is like a mirror. He says, when you look into the word of God, it's like you're looking into a mirror. But the thing about the word of God is a true mirror. Because many people in their life, they have funky mirrors. When I was a kid, you could go to the fairground and they had these funny mirrors that you could look at. And if you were skinny, they would make you wide. And if you was, see, I'm using nice words, amen. And so if you was a bit wide, you could look at it and you'd be skinny. And hopefully that doesn't offend anybody, amen. I'm learning. But the night is still young, I still may. But let me tell you this now. Those mirrors are not a true likeness of what you are. They do not give a correct reflection of what you are. The word of God is a true mirror, but in your life, some of you are relying upon fake mirrors. One of the fake mirrors is your own heart. Your own heart is a fake mirror. Pastor, what do you mean? Because I trust in my heart. Pastor, I wanted to marry her. My heart told me to. And if my heart tells me, it was right. Praise God. Go do what your heart says. No, I'm sure I've heard it. If you want in your heart. I'm sure I've heard something like that. No, that's Disney. That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. That you just trust your heart. Trust your heart, brother. Your heart will lead you. Listen, the Bible doesn't say that about your heart. But you know, I took the my heart is telling me this job is right. My heart is telling me this money, this is what I should do. My heart tells you. Oh, your heart is telling you, is it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is deceitful. Your heart, the Bible says, your heart and my heart is deceitful. You look at yourself through your own heart, your heart is lying to you. Your heart is telling you, yeah, you got it going on, man. Look at you, man of God. Man of God? What kind of woman of, yeah, that's justified. No, you was right to stand up for you. You was right to do that. That was right. You're doing the right thing. Because you hear sermons and you don't do it. You read the Bible, you don't do it. You're led by your own heart. You're looking in a mirror which is twisted. It's like me looking in the mirror and I've got my beautiful one pack, but the mirror's showing me I got like a six pack. I got eight pack. Listen, doesn't matter what the mirror says. That one pack is still there. And it doesn't matter what your heart says. It's what does the word of God say. I talk to people all the time. I'm like, let's bring it back to the word. They get offended. Let's bring it back to the word. Yeah, I understand. God told me, listen, let me say this now. God can tell you anything he wants. I don't really care. All I want to know, what does this say? What does this say? Because God ain't going to contradict this. We preach the Bible. That's what we preach Bible. We built this ministry on the Bible. It's not Courtney's opinion. It's not your opinion. It's Jesus. What does he say in the Bible? Because I'm telling you, when you start to think that your heart will lead you right, the Bible says it is deceitful above all things. You know, above all things, your heart is more deceitful than the devil himself. Above all things, your heart is more deceitful than Satan. It says it is desperately wicked. It will twist and turn. And for before you know it, you're out there living like a dog thinking you was justified. You ever met people and you're talking to them and they're way out there. They're way far from God. But it feels like, yeah, well, you know, anytime you're like, no. You've been deceived. You know, another funky mirror that many people have in their life is your friends that are just like you. They're just like you. They tell you, listen, you need to, I was speaking to someone today, you need to have friends that are different than you. Because friends that are just like you, they're going to make the same mistakes you make. And you're going to ask, what do you think? And they're going to tell you the same thing you thought, and you're going to make a mistake. You need someone that will tell you something different sometimes. This is why you need different people in your life. And people that, I don't really want to do it. Yeah. They're not this, they're not that. And so listen to what it says, Proverbs 29 verse 5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And so you're convicted, the word of God, someone spiritual challenges you, says, hey, that's funky, man, that's bad, you shouldn't be doing that. And you run back to your little chicken head friend. Yeah, you know, no, I don't think that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Keep doing it. Flattery. Telling you what you want to hear. Telling you what you want to hear, man. Now, I think you're a good guy. You're a man of God. Come on, man. Tell them the truth. They ain't no man of God. They're not faithful. They're not reliable. They're not spiritual. Tell them the truth. But you tell them what they want to hear. The Bible says in the last days, I can't remember the full scripture of it, but it's like people have itchy ears. They want false doctrine to be preached to them. They want to be soothed into the kingdom and find churches and prophets and false teachers that will tell them what they want them to hear. Well, if you came here today for that, you've come to the wrong place. Because week after week, we're going to tell you what the Bible says. And if you're in line with the Bible, you're going to love it. And if you're not in line with the Bible, it's going to beat you. In line with the Bible. But that's it. But if you surround yourself with yes men and yes sisters, oh yeah, you look fine, sister. Come on, you know she don't look fine in that, man. It's fine. That's fine if it was like five sizes bigger. This thing is too short, too low, too this, too that, and you won't tell them. Listen, I don't want no friend like that. I don't want no friend like that. The Bible shows you the true you. The Bible's going to show you the true you. The Bible shows you the things about you that you don't really want to admit to. When you look into the mirror, God's mirror, you're looking into it and it starts to show you a few things about yourself and you're like, my days. Really? Is that me? Yeah, that's you. That's you. You're lazy, carnal, prideful, arrogant. Doesn't matter who we are, every time we look into the mirror, we're going to see some things. Many times, you know, when I say many, like on a weekly basis, I'll read the Bible and I'm like, good gosh, I'm convicted. See, people come to church and a sermon goes over the pulpit and they get convicted. Do you know what that is? That's the mirror being shown in front of you, and now you can see something about yourself. That's what it is. You come into church and you feel convicted. You feel that uncomfortable feeling. That's the Holy Ghost moving on you. I remember being in Rotherhithe when Pastor Carnegie was there. Sometimes I was so carnal, I'd get so convicted, I'd go red. I'm like, my days. I feel like everybody knew it was just hot. It's like it started to get hot in there and nervous. And I try to pretend like I'm not convicted. Yeah. Yeah. And it's getting more convicted. But I've learned to love conviction. Let me repeat that. I've learned to love conviction. See, conviction is the mirror in front of you showing you there's a spot on your face. You know, one of the things I find really hard, and can I have confession time? Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to confess to you guys, man, because you guys, you know, let's just keep this between us. Amen. When I'm talking to someone and they've got a big spot on their face, I find it very difficult to concentrate. You know, one of them yellow ones. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly. And it's like, and I'm trying to talk to them, but it's almost like it's a lighthouse. And I'm like, okay, sis, okay, yes, all right. Yeah, God will help you, praise God, heal her. In Jesus' name. How many of you would like, rather than going around with a big zit on your face, that you would have seen it in the mirror and you could have done some surgery? Could have dealt with that bad boy. See, conviction is showing you, listen, this is it. And really and truly, most of us can see it. You're the last one. You're the last one to see it. See, I could look in the mirror and be like, this one pack, no. I need to get a new mirror. And so I smash it. Hey, I hate this mirror, smash it. How many of us think the mirror's full? How many of us have nothing to do with the mirror? If you're out of shape, you're out of shape. The mirror is telling you. And this is how people do. They get angry with the mirror. I'm leaving that church. Listen, if we preach false doctrine, go. If we stop exalting Jesus, go. Stop talking about reaching the lost, making disciples, planting churches, go. But if you go because we convicted you of your sin, you're not right with God. You're not right with God. I love this text because it says, all we need to do is be one that hears and does. And the Bible says, that one will be blessed in what he does. And the words that he uses, he says, he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. He says, if you look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, you're going to be blessed. Sometimes I think in our house we've got two mirrors. We've got like a tall mirror. You kind of just stand there, put your suit on, shirt and tie, whatever. We've got a mirror in the bathroom, like a square mirror. And so many times, you know, I'll get up, brush my teeth, and then I'm going to go out the house, and I'm running out the house, and my wife will say, you got some toothpaste there. And it's, you know, it's that little bit there. And I was like, okay, I missed it. Why is that? Because, you know why? It's because I only really glanced in the mirror. I'll be honest with you, I don't, in front of the mirror, I know there's some guys here, you're like, eyebrows, no, there's an eyebrow there. Getting yourself ready. Now, as you can see, it doesn't work like that for me. I just glanced at it. This is the opposite. See, the Bible is telling us we shouldn't just be glancing at the Word of God. We should be continuing in it. That's what the Bible says. He says, he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. That you've got to stay in it. You need to be looking into the Word of God. Not just a glance here and there. Not just coming to church and thinking, when's the service going to be over? I can hang out with my mates. Listen, if you have that mindset, you're not going to see who you really are. See, when you look in the mirror, you're looking so that you can rectify the defects or change some things. How many know that's what we do? Okay, you don't. You pretend like you don't. Okay, today, if you've looked in the mirror, put your hand up. Be honest. Praise God. And I'm glad you looked in the mirror. And if you did put your hand up, you're here. So you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, and what you do is you fix some of the things. Now, you know, ladies, I'm not going to pick on you, but, you know, it works better for the women than the guys. The way you look now is not the way you look when you got up. And the sisters say amen. Come on. Amen. Let's try it in unison. 1, 2, 3. Amen. No, that's weak. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. So you think about this now, ladies. And some sisters, no, I look like, come on, stop lying, man. Think about this now. You looked into the mirror so that you could make some corrections. That's why. You didn't just look into the mirror and it's like, yeah, let's go. You looked into the mirror so that you could see where things were not right or things that shouldn't be there. The Bible is saying this is how we need to look at the Word of God. Listen, get this. I'm closing now, but get this, church. You need to look into the Word of God and see yourself to make some corrections. If you read your Bible without thinking, God, what is it saying to me? How should I correct myself? How does it change me? If you're not doing that, can I say to you, is that you are a forgetful hearer. You will not be blessed. The promise of the blessing is not on that. It's on the one who continues in it. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Think about that. The Bible is saying you and I need to be taking some self-examination. We need to be looking into the Word of God and saying, am I still saved? Am I in the faith? He says, test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? See, what it should be as church is this. The more we look into the Word of God, the more we're looking into a mirror, and we should see someone who looks more like Jesus looking back at us. Listen to what I'm saying, church. I'm not saying that. Just get this. The more we look into the Word of God, the more we should see someone like Jesus looking back at us. I'm saying that we should be changing more and more to be like Jesus. the character. We're not talking about the beard, and we don't even know if that dude hanging up in that person's house is Jesus, but we're not talking about outward, we're talking about an inward change. When you read your Bible and come to church, did you come and are you reading to change? Let me ask you a question. How many, you know, don't put your hand up, but think about this now. How many of you today really, truthfully, came to church today with the intention to change? Let me repeat that. How many of you come to church? This is why it's good to come early to prayer. I know some people can't, but this is why it's good to come early to prayer. Because prayer prepares the heart. See, you want your heart to be good ground. You'll be like, how come I'm not changing? I want to change. I want to be more like Christ. But your heart is too hard. Come early and pray. When I'm praying in the service, I'm praying for hearts to be changed. Praying for hearts to be good ground. How many of you come to church with the intention to change? Or do you come and just say, well, I'm not changing. You'll never change me. Can I say to you, then you will not be blessed. But God, he says we must look into the word of God with the desire to change. We must look and think, what is the Bible saying about me? What is it saying about my temper? What is it saying about my money? What is it saying about my marriage? What is it saying about my family? What is it saying about my job? What is the Bible saying? Too many Christians have made their mind up about what they want, where they're going, what they're going to do, and then they read the Bible and leave and never ask the question, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do, God? We're too busy trying to get God to do what we want him to do. Can I tell you, he will never do what you want him to do, because he's God. We are the creation. He is the creator. See, we need to be reading our Bibles and coming to church and listening to sermons and desiring to become more like Christ. And when there's an area where you feel conviction, when the sermon goes over the pulpit and something's pointed out, and the sermon is pointing out a part of you which is not like Christ, something that's out of line, it's not like Christ, say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me deal with that. Amen. I'm more like Christ today. And that goes on and on and on and on. Too many times we're defending us. Oh, no, no. Why should I? Listen, God is trying to make you more like Christ. Can I say this? And the goal is for us to be more like Christ. The goal of the Christian is to be, forget everything else. Forget everything else. This is your first objective in life, in existence. If you've got breath, you're alive, your first objective goal is to be more like Christ. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. How many are trying to learn from Jesus? How many are trying to learn from Jesus? That you really want to learn from Jesus? Some people, maybe you're trying to learn from Beyonce. You strut around and shake your weave and crop herself. Someone trying to, I sat into the youth the other day. There's a Lil Wayne. They said, yeah, this is the guy, Lil Wayne. Maybe some of you, this is where you're learning. Jesus says, learn of me. How many are reading the gospel saying, learn of me? When I read the gospel, church, let me be honest with you. I'm trying to learn all the time. How did Jesus lead? When I'm reading the Apostle Paul and how he's writing, and I'm asking the question, how did Pastor Apostle Paul lead his church? That's what I'm constantly looking at. I look at this as the instruction manual for me, because I don't want to come here and build my own thing. I want to build a church which represents what you see here in the Bible. I want to be more like Jesus. And I know you guys want to be more like Jesus. Well, it comes by allowing the word of God to change you. And listen to what Jesus says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You want to be more like Jesus? Be gentle and lowly of heart. What he means, meek. Be gentle and meek. And listen to what he says. You will find rest for your soul. Some of you are anxious, you're frustrated, you're going through things. Learn of Jesus. Jesus has come, learn of me. And then he says this, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you feel this bondage of religion on you, that's not Jesus. Because he said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. When you start to feel that burden of religion and that, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, something's out of, you're not learning from Jesus anymore. Maybe you've got your eyes on something else. You've got your eyes on, I don't know what it is, worldliness. Could be even in the church, you've got your eyes on the ministry, you've got your eyes on the pastor, you've got your eyes on, listen, no. We don't turn on, put your eyes on Jesus. Learn of him. And the Bible says, you will be blessed in what you do. How many want that blessing? Amen.